This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. Our topic is landlord-tenant laws, disputes, and issues. My guests are landlord-tenant and real estate attorneys Jessica Chilek with Law Office in San Francisco, Salvatore Timpano with Law Office in San Francisco, Adam Kent with Law Office in Redwood City, and Walt Scheflow, a partner in the San Mateo law firm of Fox, Scheflow, Hartley, and Babu. Funding for this segment of Your Legal Rights is made possible by the San Mateo County Bar Association, the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco, and by the National Board of Trial Advocacy. I want to welcome the four of you to the program and all of those of you listening. By the way, I want to let all of you know, and I should have done this before, this is our Call a Lawyer night. We are doing this on Wednesday evening, November 29th. And for those of you who want to talk with attorneys off the air, that number is 1-800-525-9917, 1-800-525-9917. And for those of you who are listening to the live program, let me give you our toll-free number. In a few minutes, I would like you to call in with your questions, your comments, 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. Let's start with this. Walt, you mentioned something about rent control. What do you want us to know about at this point? What's going on?
Well, one of the newest things we're seeing is that after years and years and years of very restrictive building codes as to size and number of units, that cities, counties, other jurisdictions are realizing that these controls are partly responsible for the shortage of housing, especially at the lower income end of the spectrum. Because if you make a builder build bigger houses or fewer units, they're going to end up costing more. If you charge more in building fees, they're going to end up costing more. So although I guess you can't give any plaudits to the city because they caused a big part of this problem, at least some people are waking up to the fact that that is part of the problem.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Sal, let me ask you this. One of the things you said that you are finding in your practice is with some frequency, disputes between master tenants and subtenants. What's going on there?
Yes, Chuck. I think it sort of dovetails with what Walt just said. Master tenants are becoming landlords because they can't afford the rents of the units that they're occupying, so they take on roommates.
And I presume the master tenant is someone who has gotten permission from the landlord to be able to do this.
So sometimes permission is required, not always. Either way, they're bringing in the roommates and then their disputes, and they don't get along and they want to evict the roommates. Well, in a rent-controlled jurisdiction like San Francisco, a master tenant has to comply with the rent ordinance in order to evict that roommate, because that roommate is, in fact, a tenant. So the master tenant is then in the uncomfortable position of trying to evict someone they live with. And it's expensive, and they may not be able to do it. And I'm noticing there's a lot of this going on right now, and it's probably because of the lack of housing and the expense.
So with regard to the San Francisco rent ordinance, give us a simple example of what a master tenant might find as the basis for trying to evict a subtenant.
And therein lies the problem, because there are 16 just causes to evict.
I see.
None of them apply. They don't like the roommate for personal reasons.
Okay.
So then they have to sort of look for a way to find that there's been a nuisance, find that there's been some breach. Many times there isn't, and it's just a personality conflict, and you can't evict.
You can't,
under
no?
the rent ordinance
really?
For that, Chuck.
If you don't like somebody, you just can't evict them?
That's absolutely right. So okay. They find this out the hard way.
I would think so.
Yeah.
So they live together in a constant argument.
Yeah, and it's tough, and a lot of the master tenants don't have the money to pay for legal services. They also don't have the money to fund a settlement agreement.
For sure, of course.
Because usually a tenant who does sell their tenants' rights will do so in exchange for some money.
Yeah.
Well, these master tenants don't have that kind of money to pay.
Otherwise, they would have been paying it in rent.
Yeah.
You're right, Jessica. Absolutely.
Before we take our first call, and I gave you our, let me do it again. And those of you who hear the program delayed, and I'm sorry you can't be a part of our live call-in. But for those of you listening to the live program, and we're doing this on a Wednesday evening, November 29th, the toll-free number, 866-798-8255. Feel free to call in, 866-798-8255. Feel free to call in now if you like, and we'll get to your call. Let me turn, however, to Adam. Adam, at this point, you talked about you mentioned to me habitability and some of the issues involving that. For example, could you talk about that briefly before we take our first call?
May I ask Sal a question?
Go ahead, please.
Is the master tenant precluded from simply giving a notice of termination of tenancy to his subtenant?
So, yes, in San Francisco, the rent ordinance does not allow them to serve a state law eviction notice, which would be either a 30-day or 60-day notice.
Yes.
Yeah, so you can do those in San Mateo County. The issue probably doesn't arise there. But in San Francisco, they have to find a just cause under the rent ordinance to support an eviction.
That's unfortunate.
For those master tenants, it's very unfortunate.
You know, Sal and Adam, that if a master tenant thinks that they're going to be getting a new subtenant or something like that, if they go to the rent board and get information, if there is a written disclosure that the rent ordinance's eviction controls don't apply before the commencement of the subtenancy, before this new subtenant pays any rent, it can be accepted from those rules.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
But the master tenant has to be on their game and know this rule before they sublease.
This is Walt. Let me add one more thing on this. It has always bothered me about what's happened with rent control laws. The reason that the legislature originally put in unlawful detainer as an expedited procedure is precisely what Sal is talking about. They don't want people forced to be together who don't want to be together. And that's why they expedited the procedure to separate landlords and tenants. Nobody has any real sympathy for the landlord who wants to be separated from the tenant. But when it gets down to the subtenant and the master tenant, people can understand this a lot better, why the legislature did this decades and decades ago. And over the past 40 years or so, the cities and counties have spent almost all their time on this issue, making it harder for that separation to occur. I believe that is a bad outcome for everybody. You shouldn't have a home where nobody or where one party doesn't want you to be there. You should have a home somewhere where everybody likes you being there.
All right, everybody. I want to again let you know this is our monthly Call a Lawyer night, and I want to give you an opportunity to call in and speak with any one of the several attorneys that we have. The number you want to jot down, 1-800-525-9917, 1-800-525-9917. And if you call and there's no answer, please try again. Apparently, one of the lines is out of service, so be patient. You will get on. You'll be able to talk with the attorneys. The number again, 800-525-9917. The topics, legal topics available for you to talk with any one of the attorneys are criminal law, family law, workers' compensation law, estate planning, trust and probate law, employment law, landlord-tenant law, tax law, real estate law, and also we have a real estate broker here. And then tomorrow, if you're being chased by your creditors, Leon Baer, who's a certified specialist, will be available for you to talk with him, and I'll give you that phone number a little bit later. He'll be available tomorrow, Thursday, November 30th, from 9 a.m. to noon. Let me come back to you, if you would, Sal, with this. This question came forward, and then we'll get to Judy, who's waiting to be on the air. So, Judy, just be patient, if you would. Can master tenants use Airbnb to rent out rooms in the apartment in San Francisco to avoid rent control? Now, that's an interesting one.
Yeah, that's an interesting question. They can Airbnb just like an owner can.
Yeah.
There's restrictions. It's a certain amount of months per year.
Uh-huh.
Maybe somebody else here knows. I think it's 3 months a year that they can rent out.
I think it's 90 days,
90
actually.
Days.
Well, that's okay. 3 months, nearly 3 months, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they can do that, and they will, during that period of time, the Airbnb person is not a tenant. They're just a hotel guest. So no rent control applies.
How very interesting.
Yeah.
Wow.
But, Chuck, there are also rules that go with that, though. The master tenant has to clear it with the landlord. The Office of Short-Term Rentals does check back with the landlord to make sure that a master tenant has cleared it with them, that they're going to Airbnb one of the bedrooms. The master tenant has to register as a business and has to pay taxes on that income.
Oh, yeah.
You know. And so
it's not as simple.
No, it's not as simple as it sounds.
Yeah.
And master tenants can find themselves in a lot of problems if they don't, because the fines are expensive.
Are they?
Very much so.
Like,
because they're directed at people who own property.
I see. I gotcha. All right. Let's have Judy. Welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Okay.
Thank you. And thank you for being so patient and waiting, Judy.
Oh, no. Thank you. So my situation is the woman who's living with me just moved in on Sunday. We have not got a lease yet, and she hasn't begun paying me rent yet. And we have nothing in writing at all, no emails or anything like that. I don't think this is going to work.
How does she feel about it, Judy? Do you know?
I'm going to talk to her when she gets back tonight. But the problem is that I'm living in Berkeley, and I'm not sure what my rights are if we have no lease and we have no, written agreement of any kind.
When you say no lease, you mean between you and this person who has come in on Sunday. That's what.
Yes.
Do you have some kind of a tenant's written agreement, a lease or contract with a landlord of your property?
Well, we're on what's called the state lease, because neither one of us can find the lease that I had before she took over. She's like my fourth landlord. So we're on the state lease.
I've never heard of that. Can anybody explain that, Sal? Can you explain that?
Yeah, well, I haven't heard that term before, but what I think she means is she's on a month-to-month lease, an oral lease that's governed by state law.
Okay. Is that what you mean, Judy?
Probably.
Okay. You don't have a written document, such as a contract or a tenancy agreement, with your landlord, something in writing, do you?
That's right.
Okay.
Because when she moved in, I had lost my copy, and she never got a copy from the previous landlord who owned this place. So neither one of us has a copy, so it automatically reverts to state law.
All right. Let's come back with your problem with this woman who has come into your facility or your place as of Sunday. You want to know what you can do to see that she will leave. Is that your point?
I think so. I think I'm going to have to ask her to leave, but I want to know what my rights are before I do that.
Well, let me do this. I want to have my guests give you some direction.
Okay.
The State Bar of California does not permit them to give specific legal advice on this radio program, even though we are funded by several sections of the State Bar and the California Board of Legal Specialization. But does anyone have any suggestion for Judy in terms of, I don't like this woman, I see a problem, etc.? Does anyone have... Yeah, Adam, would you please?
Sure. Judy, I think this may not be what you want to hear, but I think the best outcome for you would be to try to work something out with this person.
How would you suggest? What, by working
just try
out?
Try to reach an agreement that she would leave.
I see.
Because employing a legal procedure to get her out of there.
No.
No.
That would be very expensive.
Very expensive, and nobody would emerge happily.
Walt, do you have some suggestions for her?
Well, I have some thoughts in general on this. Tenancy has probably or may have already started in your case because of the possession issue right now. So before you do anything, this is your home. It's a place you want to have peaceful and calm. I think Adams has great advice to try to work it out. But I would talk to a lawyer in Berkeley who practices under the Berkeley laws and talk to him about what parameters you must adhere to so that you know when you negotiate with this person what you have to do in case there's an impasse and also what you can do to avoid an impasse by not saying the wrong thing.
Uh-huh.
And that's the first step I would take before I did anything else. I'd go see a lawyer tomorrow.
Okay. Let me tell you, do you have something to write with Judy?
I do.
Okay.
I already know who I'm going to call.
Let me give you something that I think might be also helpful to you and for other persons who may be in Alameda County. I suggest, in light of what Walt has suggested, that you call the Lawyer Referral Service for the Alameda County Bar Association. And that number is 510-302-2222, 510-302-2222. And the beauty of lawyer referral, whatever it may be, with minor exceptions throughout the state of California, is that they'll set you up for a half an hour consultation. And you will pay, I'm not sure exactly what the Alameda County Bar charges for lawyer referral, but it's somewhere between $25 and $35 for a half an hour consultation with an attorney. The money does not go to the attorney. It goes to the Bar Association to support the lawyer referral service. So I highly recommend you start there.
Thank you.
Okay.
Chuck, if I may,
One
more thing, Judy. This is Sal Timpano. I think you should call your local rent ordinance and see if they have somebody there that can talk to you about this. A customer service line, a hotline, whatever they might call it. But call your local rent control agency, and you can tell them what this problem is and ask them what the rules are.
Yeah,
and
that's
way
good.
When you speak
point.
To the attorney, it'll help you understand a little bit more what's being said to you because you'll have some familiarity with it.
All right.
Good luck to you, Judy.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Glad you called. Here's a question, and I find this very interesting, in that I have never practiced landlord-tenant law with respect to a rent ordinance. But here's something. Can anyone explain why there's a rent board fee annually in San Francisco? We receive a credit statement from property managers, and now there is a $20 debit earmarked for rent board. Is this, and this is the last question, is this kosher? Jessica, if you would.
Sure. Actually, the rent board fee is something that the rent board assesses against the landlord and their property. The landlord can share half of it with the tenant.
How generous of the landlord
do that. But they can deduct it from the security deposit or the security interest or something like that. So that's what you're seeing on your statement that you're getting is this deduction. It's an amount that's authorized by the rent board every year. If you need further information,
San Francisco.
That's San Francisco.
We don't know about other rent board ordinances throughout
the
state.
I don't know for sure. Okay. I think Oakland also does it, but I don't know that for a positive.
There's an amendment to that that was just brought in to me by Martin, who helps me on the program. Annual credit for cleaning deposit. Does that ring a bell with you? Annual credit for cleaning deposit?
I think that's Sal. Chuck. I think that's actually the interest on the security deposit.
I see. Okay. Interest on the security deposit.
Because
all right.
Anything that's for cleaning or anything like that is designated a security deposit in law. And once a tenant has been there for a year, the rent board authorizes or requires landlords to pay interest.
Let me ask you this. With using San Francisco as an example or perhaps major cities in the Bay Area, San Francisco Bay Area, if a landlord wants to get rid of a tenant because the landlord wants to, by getting rid of the tenant, can increase the monthly rent on a unit, what comments do you have on that? And what does that mean if a landlord obviously realizes, gee, I can make a lot more money now with this tremendous demand that's going on? Who would like to respond to that first? Okay, Walt, if you would.
Yeah, there's a couple of things there. In non-rent controlled jurisdictions, you don't have to get rid of your tenant to raise the rent. But because of a statewide law in many rent-controlled jurisdictions, you have to have the tenant vacate before you can charge market rent. Mm-hmm. So during this last 7-8 years when the rents went up very rapidly, in rent-controlled jurisdictions, landlords did not rent could not keep pace with the market rents. So that's why they do it. In where I practice in San Mateo County, it isn't that they're trying to get rid of the tenants necessarily. They give a notice of increased rent, mm-hmm. and sometimes the tenants stay and pay it, and sometimes the tenants leave. Mm-hmm. In rent-controlled jurisdictions, they have this additional complication.
Yeah, so San Mateo County does not have a rent ordinance.
There's a couple of cities that have rent ordinances, East Palo Alto being the most.
Oh, yeah, that's right. East Palo Alto does. And what I want to do, Joanne, at this point is I want to give the call a lawyer number again. Everybody, it is our monthly call a lawyer night, and I want to give you our number, 1-800-525-9917, 1-800-525-9917. We have several different legal areas that you can talk with attorneys about: criminal law, family law, workers' compensation law, estate planning, trust and probate law, employment law, landlord-tenant law, tax law, real estate broker. And I'll give you the specifics for bankruptcy law a little bit later in the program. So right here, the attorneys are at KLW, and that number, if you want to call, they'll be here till 8 p.m., 1-800-525-9917. Okay, I want to encourage those of you who are listening to the live program, join us with your questions, your comments, your concerns, your problems. Whether you are a landlord or a tenant, take advantage of the fact that we have these very knowledgeable guests here who are very much into the topic of landlord-tenant laws, disputes, and issues. And we haven't touched upon, for example, Adam, I want to ask you about this. Unenforceable provisions in some kind of a rental agreement. Talk about that, your experience with that.
My experience in that has actually been fairly recent. I was asked by a client who had been given a lease provision. It was a single-family residence, and the owners were renting out the three bedrooms to three people. And so they had designated...
Was the owner also living in the...
No.
Okay, all right.
The absentee owner.
Yeah.
Had... who also thought that he could just drop in any time because of the common areas. But under California law, there are only certain circumstances under which the owner can just drop in. She was given a lease, and she was given a discount on her rent to act as sort of the hall monitor or den mother of this group. And there were provisions in the lease that there were certain rules of decorum that the tenants were supposed to observe, such as not to exert negativity.
Hey, I like that one. No negativity.
No negativity. No anger.
No swearing. Swearing.
No foul language and no overuse of the utilities.
Yeah, you can only take a 3-minute shower, right?
Well, somebody taking a 1-minute shower might think that somebody who takes a 2-minute shower is overusing the utilities. Ooh. And you could only do your laundry once a week. And the weirdest part of it was that my client was supposed to cite somebody who had broken one of these rules.
How would she cite somebody?
She would collect a $50 fine.
Ooh. Since she was the den mother,
yes.
If there's a problem here, you've got to collect the $50 fine.
And
you're going to get a black eye at the same time.
And probably. If one of the tenants amassed more than three fines, that tenant was subject to eviction. And she,
and so the den mother was supposed to pick up that person by the shoulder blades or whatever and throw the person out of the unit?
Well,
is that the idea?
That would be negativity.
and
so
that
tell
just
us.
Highlights the problem with that is you don't have any standard of what is negativity
no,
or what
it's,
is
it's
use.
It's completely subjective.
But and this is what the landlord had written into the written agreement with the master tenant.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yeah, it was a set of house rules that accompanied
so,
the release.
So legally, how – okay, that's it. Something that the den mother had signed as the master tenant. What legal authority did the den mother have to follow this?
None whatsoever.
Okay. So this is probably a landlord who should have been writing books instead of tenancy agreements. Is that right?
Or acting as an RA at a dorm down at Chuck, that's an extreme example.
Okay. So that is unenforceable provisions.
Yeah.
And so you told your client, the den mother, what?
I told her to explain very nicely to her landlord that she simply could not enforce these provisions due to their fatal subjectivity. And she got back to me, and she said she had a talk with them, and it worked out.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good. I'm very pleased to hear that. Any other comments on that? Yeah.
So I look at that and hear you say that the tenant actually signed that lease, presumably after reading it. So the rent must have been pretty good.
She got a reduction in her rent in return
for being the den mother.
To be the den mother, but the lease agreement and the accompanying house rules were actually two different documents, and she was given the house rules after she had signed the lease.
Yeah, you were off mic.
I'm sorry. She was given the house rules after she signed the lease.
Documents. Yeah. Oh, that wasn't fair. No, that wasn't fair.
No, if you're going to use house rules, and they are an okay thing to use, but they have to be reasonable. They have to be something that, you know, an average person can understand the parameters of, and they have to be attached to the lease.
Absolutely.
All right. We're going to take one call before we end the statewide version of the program, which is half an hour, and that's I hope I pronounced your name correctly. Delonica?
Yes, hi.
Hi. Delonica? Yeah, go ahead. You're on the air.
So here's the situation. So I've been subletting from my roommate for about 4 years, and we have no written agreement, so I've been paying her rent every month. And 3 weeks ago, I found
Slow down. Delonica, slow down just a little bit, please.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
So I've been subletting from my roommate for about 4 years now. And I have no written agreement with her. And 3 weeks ago, she told me that she's moving out.
Uh-huh.
And basically, I have to move out as well because I'm not on the master lease. The landlord doesn't know that I live here, or she didn't inform him. Do I have any rights?
So you are, Delonica, you are the subtenant, is that right?
Yes.
Okay, let me turn your radio back on and let me get a quick answer for you, and then we're going to end the half hour. Go ahead. Who wants to? Yeah, Walt.
This is
please.
Walt. Where are you living?
In San Francisco.
She's in San Francisco.
Let
yeah.
Sal answer that. Yeah.
Go ahead, Sal.
All right, so this is Sal. If you are the subtenant of the master tenant, when the master tenant leaves, you can stay there. But you may be subject to a market rate rent increase. And there's a lot of factors that will determine whether or not that happens.
All right, everybody. I think you answered the question. Maybe we'll come back, Sal, if you don't feel you
sure.
had finished it. But this is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. We're doing a program on landlord-tenant laws, disputes, and issues. I welcome you to call in, whether you're a landlord or a tenant. The toll-free number is 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. It is also our monthly Call a Lawyer night. We are doing this on Wednesday evening, November 29th. The Call a Lawyer number is 1-800-525-9917, 1-800-525-9917. I have been informed that one of the phones apparently has a problem. So if you call and you get no ringing of the phone, hang up and call again. We'll get to you. There's only one line that's a problem, so don't let it turn you off. And here are the people who with the legal topics who are in the conference room at KLW. For criminal law, Jeff Hayden. He's a certified specialist in criminal law. He's former chair of the California Board of Legal Specialization. For family law, certified specialist Janet Frankel. For workers' compensation law, certified specialist George Simatis. For estate planning, trust, and probate law, Mark Seidenfeld. For employment law, Michael Nelson. For landlord-tenant law, Stephen Miyake. For tax law, real estate law, he's also a real estate broker, Frank Adam. And tomorrow, Thursday, November 30th, from 9 a.m. to noon, Leon Bayer, who's a certified specialist in bankruptcy law, will welcome your calls from 9 a.m. to noon. Here's the number to jot down, 1-800-477-3111. 1-800-477-3111. Now, let me tell you who I have as my guests. These are very notorious. Very notorious lawyers. I'm just playing with you on this. And they are Walt Scheffler. He's a partner in the San Mateo law firm of Fox, Scheffler, Hartley, and Babu. Did I say Babu correctly?
You did.
Oh, good. All right. Adam Kent, who has an office in Redwood City, and his daughter, many years ago, and time has flown so much, was a legal assistant to me at the San Mateo County DA's office, and it's hard to believe she's been a lawyer 9 years.
And that was the best job she ever had.
Oh, are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh, she was terrific. Salvatore Timpano has an office in San Francisco, and Jessica Chilek also has an office in San Francisco. So those are the guests. The toll-free number, again, is 866-798-8255. The call a lawyer number is 1-800-525-9917. And we're going to now talk with Mark from San Francisco. Mark, welcome to the program.
Yes, hello, thank you. Let's see, I have two rather different questions I'll ask very quickly.
Sure.
The first is, well, I am a renter in San Francisco and have been for decades in my place.
You sound so young, Mark, for decades, but go ahead.
Appreciate that. I have rent control from way, way back in the day, so I have very good rent control, and my rent is quite good. I intend to find a housemate. I've had them in the past, and we've never really worried too much, and it's been fine, but I feel like this time I want to be prepared, not anticipating anything negative. So the first of my two questions is there anything I can do in advance with a person who I want to have move in? Any kind of agreements we can make between us, either limiting the amount of time, say making it a temporary tenancy is a question, or any agreement we can make about how the tenancy can be terminated if it comes to that.
Mm.
Then I have an entirely different question.
Well, stay on the line, Mark. Let's start with the first one. Who wants to respond to this? Can he have some kind of an initial agreement that talks about he sees whether or not this is going to work, a temporary kind of agreement that may lead to permanent? Jessica, what thoughts do you have for him?
Well, under the rent ordinance, there isn't really any such thing as a temporary subtenant in your case. I don't think what you can do in advance to protect yourself somewhat is if you have a written disclosure that the rent, that the eviction controls, the just cause provisions of the San Francisco rent ordinance do not apply to the subtenancy, and you put that in like your Craigslist ad or you know, whatever it is that you're doing to round people up, or if you disclose that to people, you know, when you have an open house to show the room or whatever, then you can take yourself out of those just causes, and you would have the ability to, for the first 12 months, evict them on a 30 days notice.
Oh, really?
And then after 12 months, it would have to be a 60 days notice.
Yeah.
But if you give them a written disclosure ahead of time, accepting their subtenancy from the eviction control rules, then you can do that. But it has to be in advance. And I strongly recommend having some sort of written subtenancy agreement as far as, like, what bedroom they get, what rooms they get to share and don't share, you know, how you figure out utilities, if they have to pay utilities, that sort of thing.
Mark, when's the last time you did this?
The last time I had a subtenant?
Yeah.
It's been a few years.
Yeah. You know, my suggestion is, and I'm going to give this to you right now. You're in San Francisco, aren't you?
Yes.
Yeah. I think I'm a consumer advocate, and I am not trying to get, let's say, jobs or positions for lawyers, although I've been a lawyer for a long time. But my role as a lawyer for the last 33 years has been in the Consumer Protection Unit at the San Mateo County DA's office. And my role as the host and producer of Your Legal Rights is to educate people about their rights and obligations. So I think, in light of the fact that you want to do this, in my opinion, you've got a little business here that you'd like to do, and the little business is you want to have someone who comes and is a subtenant. So my suggestion is write down the lawyer referral number for the San Francisco Bar Association if you'd like. It's 415-989-1616. That's 415-989-1616. And make an appointment to meet with an attorney who represents tenants, or represents actually landlords. That's going to be your role. And get some idea for half an hour. You'll pay $25 to $30. I think it's $35, and it's a great thing. Before you ask your next question, let me just say something for just a moment to everyone. Support for KLW is provided by the Bar Association of San Francisco. If you have a legal problem, you may need to talk to a lawyer. The San Francisco Bar Association's Lawyer Referral Service can arrange an appointment for you to meet with an attorney experienced in the area of law related to your situation in both San Francisco and Marin County. For a referral to a lawyer or the Bay Area Mediation Services Program, you can call 415-989-1616. If you are in San Mateo County, the San Mateo County Bar Association also has a lawyer referral service. That number is 650-369-4149, 650-369-4149. The beauty of lawyer referral, which most counties in California have, bar associations have lawyer referral services, is that you can call your own, have a brief, let's say, half an hour's consultation with a lawyer, and with minor exception, throughout the state of California, you'll pay somewhere between $25 to $35. It's a great consumer service. The money doesn't go to the attorney. It goes to the lawyer referral service. And that's what I wanted you to know about. Additional funding for Your Legal Rights is made possible by the California Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar, the Family Law Section of the State Bar, the Trust and Estate Section of the State Bar, the Labor and Employment Law Section of the State Bar, and the California Applicants Attorneys Association. Mark, your second question, if you would.
Yes, very briefly. I'm wondering if it comes to it and the landlord wants to evict me, are there causes for which, since I have rent control from a long time ago, are there specific causes for which they would have to make the eviction, and do they have to compensate me in any way?
Don't go away. Stay on the line while Sal responds. Go ahead, Sal.
Yeah. Hi, Mark. There's 16 just causes for eviction enumerated in the San Francisco rent ordinance. You could call them, or you could find it on Google and see what those are. Some of those evictions have payments required. Some don't. So it depends. Nothing that you've said on the air here indicates to me that you could be evicted for bringing in a roommate. If you have a written lease, you want to check it to see if it says anything about bringing in guests or occupants or roommates, subtenants.
That might require the landlord's permission.
Correct.
Yeah.
So this way you can get that permission up front. Otherwise, not only will you be breaching your lease, but you're also going to put yourself in a position where your subtenant could threaten you to, you know, end up getting you evicted.
Yeah.
And so if you get evicted, so does your subtenant.
Yeah.
So it would help everybody out in your case if you check that. Yeah? Does that answer your question?
Does that help you, Mark?
Very much.
Okay. Terrific. Good luck to you. Take care. All right. Our toll-free number again, 866-798-8255. Again, call a lawyer is 1-800-525-9917. As I said, this is our monthly call a lawyer night. We do this every month, usually the fourth Wednesday. This happens to be the fifth Wednesday. We didn't do it last week because it was Thanksgiving Eve. Can you imagine how many attorneys I would have here for call a lawyer on Thanksgiving Eve? That's why we're doing it this week.
More than you would think, Chuck.
Oh, you think so? Really? Do you?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I'll remember that for next year.
You have no idea.
All right, Leah. Leah, welcome to your legal rights.
Thank you.
Hi.
I may have some trouble hearing you. I'm hearing impaired, so I'll do the best I can.
Sure. No, I hear you fine. You go ahead.
Okay. Here's my situation. This week I celebrate my 41st anniversary in my rent control department in San Francisco.
You deserve an award for that.
I should, except that my landlord, to my face, calls me a carry-out.
Ah, oh, is he joking or not?
It's not a nice way to suggest that the sooner I leave, the better. but that is, his humor aside, my question has to do with earthquake retrofitting of garages in San Francisco.
Yeah.
I have the apartment, but as part of my rent, my lease, I have the garage for many, many decades now. And it's more than just parking a car. It's an extremely large garage where I have built-in cabinets, and I have a lot of equipment there. It's full of stuff. And
is that yours? Is Leah, is that your stuff? You're the only one who's using that garage?
Yeah. I'm the sole participant in that garage after all these years. I have a car, but I also have, the entire garage is mine to do what I want.
Wow.
Okay. I know. I'm one of those privileged people. People have garage envy.
garage hate.
Yes. So here's the situation, is that the landlord came by recently with an engineer saying that they had to take a look in anticipation of doing the soft story retrofitting, and they had to go through a permit process first.
Yeah.
I'm in a neighborhood that's on bedrock, so I'm considered a low risk building for an earthquake for a collapse.
Okay.
My biggest concern, and I'm trying to avoid developing an anxiety in advance, is that they would use the retrofitting as an excuse to displace me out of my not only garage but my apartment. And I am a elderly, which is a nice. I'm actually elderly, but I'm a disabled senior. So any kind of displacement would be a major, major hardship on me. So I'm trying to anticipate problems with the landlord and see what the best strategy is for dealing with this situation.
What suggestions do you have for Leah? And Leah, stay on the line in case any of my guests have some questions for you.
Okay.
Who wants to start on this? What should she do to protect herself? She's been there for 41 years. She's entitled to, let's say, an Academy Award for that.
I would say so.
I would accept that.
two Academy Awards. Sal, what do you have to say to her?
Okay, Leah. So
speak into the mic.
Your landlord is encouraged by the city to maintain the property, to improve the property. So probably doing the right thing, especially if there's permits involved and professional contractors. You won't, from what you told me, you're not going to be displaced from your unit. You may be temporarily displaced from the garage while the work proceeds in a reasonable manner. But when the work is completed, then you'll have your access to the garage, minus whatever little space might be consumed by support bars or, beams. But you may have to leave the garage for the time being while the retrofit work is occurring. If that happened, you'd be entitled to a reduction in rent because of the reduction in services, and that's something you can either work out with your landlord or seek a petition at the rent board and have them make the decision on how much you should be compensated for the lack of use of the garage, always keeping in mind that the landlord is being encouraged to do this kind of work to make the property more safe in the event of an earthquake.
Let me just add to this that my apartment is above the garage, and so I was to understand that that would impact my tenancy and the livability while the work is being done. Is that not the case?
Well, that question would probably be better put to a contractor, but I don't believe it's going to affect your unit. These are, I mean, there's going to be some noise, but it's going to be during the hours that noise is allowed. So if you're home during that time, it may be a little uncomfortable. You might have to leave for some of the time, provided that you can. You know, you said you were elderly.
I'm disabled,
but
right.
But if you can get out of the house, that would be a reasonable thing to do.
Can you get out of the house, Leah?
I can. I have mobility issues, but I can get out of the house. I have a car, and that's my legs,
Yeah.
You know.
A lot of this is going to be just negotiating for what's reasonable. The landlord will have to answer your questions. How long is this going to take? What's it going to do to affect your tenancy? These are all legitimate questions to ask your landlord, and your landlord's going to have to give you the best responses that he or she can.
Do you believe, Sal, at this point, that Leah, she lives in San Francisco, do you think it would be wise for her to contact the San Francisco Lawyer Referral Service and speak with an attorney who represents tenants? Because at this point, this is a serious thing. I mean, she thinks, mm-hmm. she has believed that if there's going to be renovation of the garage, since she's on the upper floor above the garage, mm-hmm. that will cause her to have to leave. I think, Leah, you're going, as Sal has suggested to you already, I think you're anticipating too much negativity here, and I would suggest that you might want to speak with an attorney who's familiar with, obviously, the rent ordinance, who represents tenants. And do you want me to give you the lawyer referral number again, or do you have it?
I actually have that. But
okay.
But one question that goes along with it, there's a couple things that I have heard, and of course they may be rumors, that some of the work is supposedly, it takes 3 months to complete, yeah. but some tenants have been faced with up to 6 months or more, mm-hmm. and that they can use the work as an excuse to prolong the tenants being out, and in that sense, try to force the tenants out because of how long it's taking to do the work, and the tenants can't get back into their apartment.
Yeah, Adam, please.
Well, presumably your landlord has an agreement with a building contractor who is going to be performing this project, and uh-huh. you should, I think, be well advised to ask your landlord to tell you how long this job is supposedly going to take,
and exactly
what's going to be involved, because it could be fairly short and not all that bad, or it could be, as you say, a six-month nightmare. You have a right to know.
What is your relationship with your landlord? Is it good, bad, or indifferent?
Well, let me just put it, speaking of Academy Awards, I'm on the fourth generation of my landlord now.
Whoa!
I had the great-grandparents.
Did you really?
And now I have the great-grandson, and when his kids get a little older, I will have the great-great-grandsons if I'm still around.
So what's your relationship with this grandson?
It depends on which generation I'm talking to.
I see.
One is friendly, one is not.
I see.
One is hostile to me. The one Ooh. That I deal with primarily is hostile to me.
Well, that's not good.
And that's not good, but his father is not hostile to me.
Is his father still on the lease itself?
He's still. There are also not only landlords; there are property management firms.
Uh-huh, okay.
They do both.
One of the suggestions, one of the Martin brought Martin McLean, who works with me on the program, brought in is, how about renting mobile storage for temporary protection of your garage contents? You should think about that. But here's another question that Joanne Marr, who's the announcer-operator of the program, brought in to me. If the noise from construction is so loud,
right,
and she either can't live there or it's extremely uncomfortable,
right,
can she get a rent decrease for reduction in services? Sal?
So, real quickly on that, if the noise is so much that you can't live there, then you're going to be entitled to a temporary relocation. And you're going to,
under the rent board
under
law,
under the rent board ordinance, you'll
that's
be entitled
great.
To that.
Yeah.
So, that's a bridge you're going to have to cross when you get to it. Landlords are the ones that initiate those. You can't force them to do it.
Oh, really?
But, yeah. But if their contractor tells them, look, it's not safe to have somebody living here, well, then they're under obligation to temporarily move you.
Yeah.
And they've got to pay you, and the payment could be substantial. If the work goes more than 20 days, it's a substantial payment for temporary relocation, and they can never get that money back from you.
Leah,
when you move back in, you won't pay higher rent.
Speaking of money,
I understand that they can do a pass-through the rent control board to everyone in the building.
That's correct.
Leah, I think what you need to do, really, at this point, this is obviously a very serious matter confronting you. I really think you need to contact the Lawyer Referral Service of the San Francisco Bar Association.
Good idea.
Ask to speak with an attorney who is familiar with the rent ordinance and who represents tenants.
Right.
And make an appointment for half an hour initially, and you'll pay $35. It goes to the Lawyer Referral Service, not to the attorney. It's a great service, and I think you need to do this. You need to be an aggressive consumer to protect yourself. So
That's why I'm calling. Right?
Yeah, good. Good luck to you, and thank you for calling.
I appreciate all your help.
All right, you take care.
Thank you, bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. All right, we have, I think, time for another call. We have Liz from San Francisco. Welcome to Your Legal Rights. Hi, Liz.
Hi.
Hi, you're on the air, yeah.
Yeah, my situation is basically I was quote-unquote renting for part of the year for about 10 years, bouncing back and forth actually between Alaska and California.
Oh,
huh. Without a lease, though, a written lease. It was just through a friend who let myself and my husband stay at his house.
Yeah.
And we did work in exchange for it and took care of him and did things like that. He did not live at this house. He lived in a different property. But what happened is he died, mm-hmm. and the people, his in-laws who inherited the property, basically this, you know, wouldn't let us get on the property to collect our belongings or anything like that. And so we have no rights because we didn't have a lease, a written lease. And they said we were temporary guests and not considered tenants. And so I just want to find out what the rules and regs are that in terms of California. Are they correct, or do we have all the rights, like, you know, normal year-round renters, I suppose, you know, in terms of getting 60-day notice to vacate a property?
This is Walt.
So what city are you in?
I'm living in San Francisco now, but I was in San Diego.
Back off just a little.
Yeah.
So the property you're talking about where your tangible items are stored now is in San Diego?
Correct.
All right.
Yeah, Chula Vista, actually.
Whether you're a tenant or not, if you have permission to put your property on someone's premises, they have to allow you an opportunity to recover that. And if any of it is worth any amount of money at all, if you can identify that property and they don't allow you that opportunity, you can collect damages for that. Now, oftentimes, tenants and others abandon property somewhere, and it's pretty hard to put any value on it at all because a used mattress isn't worth much, and, you know, an old couch isn't worth much. But if this is something of value, talk to a lawyer very close to where your property was in San Diego, because that's a local action. You're going to have to file it down there if you do it. Mm-hmm. And if it's more than the small claims limit, which is generally $10,000 for most claims, mm-hmm. then you have to do it in Superior Court. But yes, you do have the right to collect that, whether you're a tenant or not.
Mm-hmm. But now, do they have the right to prohibit us, you know, from going back into the property and living there for 30 or 60 days with notice, or do they have, is that notice, you know, waived because of the fact that you weren't there year round?
Were you living in the premises when the person died?
No, we weren't. We were out of town then. Yeah, we would normally come down in November, and this happened. He died in August.
Probably not then. I'd say that's iffy. Were you really a tenant so that you had possession rights? It sounds like you might not have at that point. I would have a lawyer in San Diego run through that topic a little bit further, because I'm not sure what that answer is, but I don't think you have tenancy rights.
You know, Liz, obviously there's a bar association for San Diego County and a lawyer referral, so I think what you might want to do is contact the lawyer referral service for the San Diego Bar Association. Maybe you can get a conference over the phone, since you're here in San Francisco right now. Mm-hmm. We're going to move on, and good luck to you.
Okay, I hope you
get some help, but you need to talk to a lawyer and get some direct nose-to-nose advice from someone, which is more than you can get on our radio program. All right, this is going to be our last call, and I understand, Bill, you have a very fast question. Go ahead.
Oh, yes. Living here in the San Francisco district, Richmond district, I've watched the seismic retrofit of many apartment houses, and there are large things going on with the garages. If it's three or four garages in a row and so forth, they may install new kind of foundations for the beams and all kinds of reinforcing work. Okay, and my other statement is about the seismic retrofit ordinance does not encourage landlords to proceed with this. It's very much set out in the ordinance with schedules and deadlines and possibly monetary fines. So the landlords are not merely encouraged to do this. They're under the gun.
They're under the gun. Okay. Well, Bill, thank you very much for your thoughts on this. Before we end the program, does anybody have anything in five? Yeah, very 10 seconds, Adam.
Very quickly, there's a publication that's put out by the Department of Consumer Affairs called California Tenants, A Guide to Residential Tenants and Landlords' Rights and Responsibilities. It's user-friendly, and it's free, and it's available online. You can Google it.
Okay, well, I want to thank you. I'm sorry we've run out of time, everybody. I want to thank you all for joining us on Your Legal Rights, landlord, tenant, and real estate attorneys Jessica Chilek, Sal Timpano, Adam Kent, and Walt Scheflo. Thank you very much for joining us. Great to have you on the program, and very great to have all of you listening to us. Next time on Your Legal Rights, our topic is immigration law. We're going to focus on the update of the legal representation of undocumented immigrants. My guests are immigration law attorneys Valerie Zukin, Amid Yazdanpana, Sarah Izad Pana, and Zachary Nightingale, a certified specialist in immigration law. Your Legal Rights production staff members are program engineer Joanne Marr and production assistant Martin McClain. Funding for this segment of Your Legal Rights has been made possible by the San Mateo County Bar Association, the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco, and the National Board of Trial Advocacy, which also funds the public radio satellite transmission of the program. Thank you for listening to our Your Legal Rights public radio program, and I hope you join us next time on your public radio station. I'm Chuck Pinney.